Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. السلام عليكم. As we seek refuge with Allah, the one God, from the shaitan, the rejected enemy of all of mankind, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we're openly declaring, acknowledging that Allah is the one God, and there are no partners with Allah, and that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, is a servant and messenger of Allah. Greetings of peace once again. Greetings of peace, ease, calm, and the richness of serenity. That's peace. I'm Martha Naila Abdullah, your host for tonight. We've entered another day on the Hijra calendar in the month of Rajab, which is the seventh month on the Hijra calendar. And we're still in the 26th day of January on the Gregorian calendar. And January, from the history and just reading into how people were adapting themselves to the signs around, signs of living and life and adapting to their environment and producing ways and means to stay connected to what was happening, what they were learning, and their evolutionary stages of development. Before we got to where we are, there were beliefs in different things. And they wouldn't even use the word God, but, you know, that's how we reference it, worshiping other gods or worshiping self as God. And so the Greek gods that were referenced at the time, one was Janus, and Janus is opening the door. And the opening doors refer to a new life, new way of living, entering a new pathway to bettering self, improving upon self, self-thinker, self in our environment, self-physically. So we have Janus. And for Rajab, I'm going to be referencing Sankofa tonight, everyone. But as we go to the month of Rajab, we'll just enter some information for you on that. And Rajab, okay. And the Islamic calendar, of course, it goes in this way. That Rajab is one of the 12 months listed in the Islamic calendar, and these months have different virtues and important dates, which are recognized by billions of Muslims all around the world. And these four most sacred months in the Islamic calendar, including Rajab. Well, we're going to share what's the significance that has been noted, all right? As we do our own research, we may come to information. I'm relying on the computer here, and the important dates in the month of Rajab, there's about 10, actually about 15. It says Rajab, the birth person's name, Muhammad al-Bakir. I don't know his history. And then that was the death anniversary of Ali al-Naqi and Awas al-Arni. Don't know their history. Rajab is also the birth of Ali al-Naqi. So the death anniversary and the birth. And the death anniversary of Mu'nuddin Chishti. And so it goes on. And then there was the birth of Ali ibn Abi Talib. So, you know, the Ali then was the cousin of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there were other things. Death anniversary of Abu Talib, Ibn Abdul Muttalib. So Abu Talib is Ali's father, who was the son of Abdul Muttalib. And Muttalib is the grand of the Talib. So the father, which was the grand, but he was the father of Abu Talib. And he also, this was the death anniversary of Abu Talib in the month of Rajab. But what stands out most is that this is considered the month when the night journey, Isra, or the Mihraj, was experienced by Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. That's what we will probably qualify or classify as the sacredness of this month, that it was a month that the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, prayers and peace be upon him, went on that night journey. And some would say a dream, but this dream was a life experience. It was an experience of meeting those prophets that came before him to establish in his heart and mind his being the culmination, if you will, or the ending of the process that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established for the human being to go through on a developmental stages or process for a human being going through its developmental stages. So that's where we can connect. We go into a sleep, such as he was, as his wife, Rahimahullah, expressed that he never left his bed. It is noted that I believe it was Aisha, radiallahu anhu. He never left his bed. So that means with him expressing the experience after way of arising, of being brought back, you know, from that sleep, and indicating all who he met, and him not having met them before or studied about those prophets and the references that they have in every human being's life, this is the sacredness for the month of Rajab. So now we have it. There's a servitudinal process that connects our desires to be connected with the Creator who is most merciful, the merciful, the merciful. So every step that we take and every movement we make, every thought we undertake, think on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us to go through these changes and to sometimes make mistakes. And when we do, then there's a process or an avenue where we can correct it, inshallah, God willing. So we're thankful for Allah's mercy, and we're thankful that the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, had that experience. We're thankful how we can relate to it as we think about it, we connect with the understanding of it, and we strive to live on those processes or stages of development. So let's go to Quran, and let's go now as it speaks about, you know, I'm going to go read now, as it says, the night of Isra and Mi'raj, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prayers and peace be upon him, visit to heaven. As you can imagine, that is heaven. Heaven is peace. The heaven reference is a state of being in this indication, in this case, a state of being. And so his movement, his spiritual movement, connection. This is one of the most, I'm reading now, important events in Islamic history. Oh, one moment. I want to share with us, too, where in Quran that the reference to the month of Rajab, didn't remember exactly, and the Isra is Surah 17. I should know that, shouldn't I? Surah 17. I didn't read it. I just now remembered it, but I don't know if it mentions the month of Rajab in that instance. So we'll read from Surah 17 tonight before we go any further. The night journey is what it is referred to. Let's see here. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Subhanalladhi asra بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع subhanAllah. Innahu huwa sami'u basur. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Exalted, this is from Sahih International, everyone. Exalted is he who took his servant by night from al-Masjid al-Haram to Masjid al-Aqsa, though whose surroundings we have blessed, to show him our signs. Indeed, he is the hearing. One moment. Indeed, he is the hearing, the seeing. Yusuf Ali says, has it, glory to Allah who did take his servant for a journey by night from the sacred mosque to the farthest mosque, whose precincts we did bless, in order that we might show him some of our signs. For he is the one who hears and sees, and in parentheses, all things. وأتينا موسى الكتاب وجعلناه هدى للبني إسرائيل ألا تتخذوا من دوني وكيلا. Sahih International. And we gave Moses the scripture and made it a guidance for the children of Israel, that you not other than me as disposer of affairs. Yusuf Ali, we gave Moses the book and made it a guide to the children of Israel, in parenthesis, commanding, close parenthesis, take not other than me as a disposer of affairs. And then we go here, the last one we'll read, inshallah. ذرية من حملنا مع نوح إنه كان عبدا شكور. صدق الله العظيم. All descendants, Sahih International, all descendants of those we carried, in parenthesis, ship, close parenthesis, with Noah. Indeed, he was a grateful servant. Yusuf Ali, O you that are sprung from those whom we carried, in parenthesis, in the ark, close parenthesis, with Noah. Verily, he was a devotee most grateful. Stop right there, because the next one talks about the haughtiness of Israel. But our point for tonight is that we are the descendants at this point in time of those, and the ark, I'm going to refer to it as the covenant, that we are descendants connected to the covenant that was placed upon Noah. As we noted, the scriptures of Moses, and even though it indicates the children of Israel, those who journeyed Isra, who journeyed for the sake of finding and maintaining, establishing and maintaining a life that as a devoted servant or devoted servant of Almighty God, and not taking, the commandment was not to take anyone as a disposer of all the affairs, and all our affairs brings it to us in a human form, our connection with food, clothing, and shelter, and even our thinking of seeking guidance, our prayer, a way to pray, a way to be merciful or be kind to those other people of the human family. But definitely starting with the family around us. So that the commandment given to children of Israel, or the descendants or those who journeyed seeking guidance, and the guidance came definitely with the commandment, and then those who were of the ark, of Noah, and that also is Noah representing an enlightenment period, and that enlightenment comes with a covenant, extending the covenant to all who were created from, and we know eventually we'll see ourselves connected as descendants of Adam. So as we, and then where the covenant is in our consciousness, in our consciousness, yes, our bringing it to the forefront, the remembrance of the Creator as the command came from one generation to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. And, of course, we now, Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, which is the ending of that whole process as a declaration of the Ark, of the Covenant, of the commandment, everything that was applied as signs and everything for those before us is also upon us. It's also upon us. And so we have very good examples to follow. We can connect with the journey that Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, prayers and peace be upon him, took on and had it as a sign to convey to those around him. And then the message gets conveyed on down through the lines, and here we are conveying it as well. Mashallah, may Allah bless us that we are conveying it in the best way and that it is clearly understood, inshallah, God willing. Now, if you have any questions or comments before we continue to read on Rajab, this is on the connection with our life, between our life and the life before, those who lived before and those who are living now, and how we are connected with the word from Almighty God and how we are part of the process, meaning the signs from Almighty God. And tonight we're going to be connecting with one of our brothers, a dedicated servant, as in a creative way. So as we finish this, we will share some commentary from Imam Worsdi Muhammad as I travel to a particular location, and you'll hear who I'm going to be referring to, inshallah. All right, let's see if there's anyone who wants to make comments. Again, welcome to Community Developmental Stages. And I am Martha Naila Abdullah, your host for tonight, along with you. Yes, we have 706-627, dear brother, Muhammad of Columbus, Georgia. Community of Prophet Muhammad by way of Columbus, Georgia. Got it. As-salamu alaykum, Muhammad.
Wa alaykum as-salam. May Allah bless it. Peace and blessings be upon you and the community and everyone there on 360. I'm coming in late on, so I know community development is the broadest statement, and I just wanted to contribute a idea with 360. Since 360 is one of the opportunities that Allah has given to spearhead the leadership of communications for our community and the world, I wanted to share something with you that I'm trying to share the inspiration I feel Allah has given us. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
No, I was just saying okay, and then I muted myself.
Oh, okay. I just talked with a family, a Muslim sister and her husband who bought some land in Sandersville, Georgia. And they have 9 acres or something. It might be more. We haven't got into more. But I was down that way a couple of years ago when we were interested in trying to buy some land down there, and with the vision of Elijahville all in our mind again, you know. And I had a today's interaction with 360 and the wonderful family of y'all, you know, brought an inspiration on that. I pray inshallah come from Allah that we can. I talked with the husband, just got to talk with him a few minutes ago. That's why I'm kind of late coming on your program. And I asked him, was he interested in sharing 3 days of his property that they have down there so that we could help them develop it and renovate it for having a halal shura conference like Imam Bilal to try to have in July, and we had the problem with the Zoom, you know, so that the community could start to come together and start brainstorming and start modernization what we've been talking about for years, and we're talking every day, and we're going to it, inshallah, by Allah's help, you know. And he said, yes, he would be interested in that. And I've seen the property about 2.5 years ago. And I know they've been doing some renovation on the farm, the barns and things, the different property things that were left there, you know. But that would be a wonderful idea if 360, the blog programs, other people who, once we start do the actual advertising for a possibility of having another halal community conference, you know, of the community, Imam Walid Muhammad and those who support his life cycle and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's life cycle, and anyone who's interested in establishing a township, because that's what we was looking at, that 400 or 500 acres a couple of years ago. And I think your program director is familiar. I know the brothers from out of Texas know about it, and I think your CEO is familiar with the land and everything. I don't know. The rumor is that they bought it or they had something to do with buy with it. But anyway, we need to reactivate some of these things that we have been doing and make it a community project. And like what 360 had in Florida, you know, down at y'all location. You know, we need to continue to develop this sure opportunity. So they have 9 acres of land down there. It's in Sandersville, Georgia, the place of many of us invitation from Allah SWT to come together, you know, with the Quran and life example of Prophet Muhammad through the inspiration of Allah gave to Master Farah Muhammad using that language, to Honorable Elijah Muhammad and to Imam W. Muhammad, and where we at today. It would be nice if we went back to the grassroots of our awakening by Allah SWT, you know, to come together as a community. We all know the social reform development that we went through, you know, and how we got cleaned up and learned many things to help us, how we was capable of making money, was capable of owning stores, et cetera, through the history of the Nation of Islam by Farad Muhammad and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And as Allah promises through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he prepared us for the Muslim life, that Imam Muhammad came and gave us the way, the law, the guidance, the orbit, et cetera, whatever language you want to use, to bring about doing what we're doing now, and that's establishing this model community to show the world that those who turn to Allah, the creator, the one creator, and revelation or whatever revelation they receive and their accepted understanding by Allah's permission at this time, to join on to the last understanding that the human family can have and come together on, you know, as a mercy from Allah, al-Islam. And so, we need to come together and talk to each other, which we all the time to do, not with the different degrees of permission Allah has gave each and every one of us who in our hearts and in our duas, he has been asking us by having 360, other lifeline, you know, here that all the many segments and pieces of puzzle of our life here in the United States and on this earth. We are the key to it, and we have to start to unlock these handcuffs and our shackles that's hold on our brains, on our work, on our progress and our direction, you know, and it's gonna have to be done through sure, as we know. So Allah has put y'all in a life cycle of being community sure, you know, and we have to bring it to perfection by supporting those of you who Allah has given different assignments and the good work that each and every one of you is doing to bring about this happening. But we have to also remember that the answer is very close. All we had to do, like a lot of people say, is just follow the ascension that Allah gave Prophet Muhammad to show him that we can put the past, the present, and the future together by doing things to get his reward of putting and letting faith come into our heart so we can do this unseen work that is waiting there to come into our vision. You know, as we do the material walking toward it. Because the law said the victory is already there. So anyway, I wanted just to go ahead and let you know ahead of time. That's what I'm going to be trying to do. Not as an individual, but see the people who I've been observing for years of all the different blessings Allah has given them. And I think you know and I know we all see how Allah really blessed us. You know, the things that we have seen him do for all of us, you know, so that we will have no doubt that Allah is God, that he is the creator and he does exist. You know, and he does keep every word that we read in the Quran, read in the clarity of the Bible, and anything else that we find, the truth that is in it, we see it. But we have to, inshallah, start putting it together. So the brother said he would call me tomorrow after he talked to his wife and see if they could be interested in maybe we getting together those who might want to invest in having this third or fourth, well, I would say now it would be technically maybe going on the third or fourth cure that we had this year. You know, the one in July, the one down in Florida with you, and the time to be grateful was up. Another wonderful opportunity for community cure, you know, with each other. But we'd have to make it a point that the people of the world could see that the community of Imam Wafdi Muhammad is really coming together. And they are having a official shura to please Allah first, to save our own soul first and become that model, example for everyone. And then as it goes down to different levels, like this brother's farm, they got a nice space there. They're not struggling with it. But if we could have a tourist spot like we were talking earlier today on 360, when we were talking about how we spend so much money, I think it was on the Land of Plenty, was talking about one of the things we were talking about today on the radio, but how we're spending a lot of our money, you know, at different places. We have a lot of Muslims who go to Jerusalem. They go to the Vatican. They go to Mecca. They go many places trying to find peace of mind as we continue to figure out what we should already know to do. But we just haven't, for lack of faith, that's the best word to put it too, the lack of faith, we have not seen the vision of Imam Muhammad the way that we learned of it. And where he left us at, we're not seeing as good as we did before, but we're working on it. We were asking Allah to not let Shaitan blind us, not let us blind our own selves. But that's only going to come, like Iban was talking later on this evening on a CD with the brothers out of St. Louis, the block program out of St. Louis. You know, where Iban Muhammad said, the things that we're looking for are in the future are for the workers. It's for Allah's workers, the ones who are actually going to build the reality here in this scenario that we're in, as that we are following the creator of all worlds and etc. And be the model for people to do this. So inshallah, I just wanted to let y'all know also and that the same support that y'all gave Imam Bilal for his efforts to have that halal shura in July, and we thank Allah that Allah bless knowingly or unknowingly a good rebound for what didn't work on July 11th that we had the second shura that y'all had 360 had down there in Florida, and we sure like the experience of after hearing the great talk of how everybody enjoyed the time to be grateful this year. And then the example Allah gave us when Alana Massey raised $5 million. You know.
Yes. Let me jump in there. and share. Not to interrupt, but I do have another caller. I'm going to open up.
Oh yeah,
and,
yeah,
and
go
ask,
ahead, no problem.
Ask the, yes, and thank you, thank you. This is
yes,
this
ma'am.
Is exactly what it's all about. What we the we includes whomever volunteers to step forward and submit it so that it can be taken to a think tank process, and that's how the SURE is handled. And then the whatever comes out, the best comes out, we'll all contribute to it. And we are seeing what is already in progress and just hook on to how we can, inshallah. That's the progress we're looking for. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send out a special prayer for those who are willing and have the heart and mind. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to keep struggling with it. And, of course,
yeah,
you come forward with that, and praise be to Allah. Thank you. And I'm going to leave your mic open. You can mute yourself, and then, alhamdulillah, refer, you know, alhamdulillah, to open, that opens the door for us here. Michael Hameen is who I have, and I'm going to ask if he's able to conduct this while I travel a little bit to make a connection in the next 15, 20 minutes and connect with one of our developed our leadership persons. Michael Hameen, I'm opening your mic. Assalamu alaikum, yes. Michael.
Alaikum assalam. I see that there's nobody in the host chair.
I'm going to get in because I had to turn my computer off.
Okay.
And then I'll be able to call it in right now while you go ahead and make your comment. And
right,
and stay with me as we proceed,
right,
as you heard me describe.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum to one and all. I want to share. First, I want to quote Imam Muhammad early in his leadership, directing us to go back and to get from our developmental history to bring forward to help us in our struggle to come into a healthy and productive future as African Americans and as in particular as Muslim, because when we show our public, those who are watching us and those who have an interest in what we're doing, when we show them our awareness of our obligation, we see our obligation to God to establish ourselves in a healthier way, then they will be led by that example, God willing. And what I want to share is, you can Google this, it's called the Colored Convention with an S, coloredconventions.org, O-R-G. And it's dealing with the Colored Conventions movement. And I want to read just a little bit here. It says, over the course of 7 decades, that's 70 years, tens of thousands of black men and women from different walks of life traveled to attend meetings publicly advertised as colored conventions throughout the antebellum period and continuing for 30 years beyond the Civil War. These political gatherings offered opportunities for freeborn and formerly enslaved African Americans to organize and strategize for racial justice. The first colored convention was held in 1830 in response to the Ohio 1829 exclusionary laws and a wave of anti-black mob violence that had forced 2,000 black residents to flee the state. The first meeting brought black leaders together to contest widespread discrimination against black communities. Their gathering activated a movement. And I'm going to stop there. But the language was more serious. I should say the circumstances were more severe than just discrimination. The circumstances was lingering oppression because Caucasians had come to identify themselves as white, And in that definition, they saw themselves superior to the African-American people. And so you had these riots and other oppressive circumstances, mob violence. And the response to that was this color convention movement. Frederick Douglass, many notable African-Americans, there were also women involved in this process, pamphleteers, black pamphleteers. They put out pamphlets, and that might be something that we can look at as well, the low cost of advertising activities by way of pamphlets. Also, there were newspapers. Frederick Douglass owned a newspaper, the Northern Star, I believe it was. But anyway, you had this diversity of African Americans coming forward. And what they were doing is what Brother Muhammad talked about. They had a particular focus for the shura, but they were practicing shura. And so I bring this up in terms of us moving forward and those things that Brother Muhammad mentioned. I bring those things up because you can sense a spirit of the time. You know, the Germans called, Zeitgeist, the spirit of the time, that Allah is moving the human family, and he's moving the Muslim community, particularly here in America. Large numbers of people are converting or accepting al-Islam. They're accepting the people who have a strong philosophy of social philosophy. The Mexican and Latino community, they are leading the acceptance of al-Islam here in America in terms of the numbers. The numbers of Spanish speaking people is growing in terms of their accepting al-Islam. What we have to be careful of, Satan is always busy. So in my opinion, we have to be careful of Satan influencing outdated expressions. And I could use stronger language. Outdated expressions of Islam. Note I didn't say al-Islam. Outdated expressions of Islam. School of thought mentality instead of ways of thinking in terms of fresh insights into what life living, what the scriptural process from the biblical scriptures that include the Old and New Testament, Proverbs and other things that give clear expression to how believers should conduct themselves. But we have to be careful that misrepresentation of what Allah gives to us in the Quran and in the example of Prophet Muhammad. People are interested in al-Islam, but we have to be careful that those influenced by Satan don't give them their Islam, which is weaker and more, it's considerably problematic. Al-Islam solves problems. These various expressions of Islam make problems. And I'll stop there.
Alhamdulillah. I'm in the mode of driving right now. And so, inshallah, if I can get your assistance with, I was going to, as you mentioned, not to be, I say, sidelined with our intent. And we spoke this morning about the pure intentions and how we, as we enter the month of Ramadan, that it is to help us to scale back and be more observant, be more introspective, as well as retrospective. And then prospective, so that we really exercise who we are, what we have, and how we've become who we are, and ask our question, lay it against the pattern of Prophet Muhammad, prayers of peace be upon him, and so that we're not idolatrizing. A new word, y'all, idolatrizing. But praise be to Allah. Thank you. You're saying about the language environment as well as how ism or the Islam, our Islam, her Islam, can bring us to our a downfall eventually.
It's problematic because it's in many cases it's not following the book. It's following feelings and stratified leadership that's really not in touch with the Quran and Prophet Muhammad's life. You know, you've got various influences that because of the popularity of attraction of the practical application, and I really feel that coming into Ramadan, perhaps, you know, many victories were gained during Ramadan periods, you know, because you could focus on God and what God wants. So perhaps we can be more active into application, because oftentimes we look at dawah in terms of inviting people to the religion, but if we could invite them to certain principles that the religion supports, like being a better, healthier human being, and then from a solid foundation, we can help them with seeing the Quran correctly, having the right perception of the Quran, and how the Quran leads us to see Mother Nature more clearly and so on.
If I may, also like what you're saying, when we have to again update the beginning of our guidance by going back to it, like words like innovation, which is really in this language today is artificial intelligence. Shaitan is trying to grow and update and regenerate his language of paralleling the basics of what Allah has made clear to us, and try to figure how to keep it in smoke or in a state of makruh, to where we're always lost for words of explaining what is clear in the Quran in the life example of Prophet Muhammad. It's like Ramadan coming up. Well, like the language of Dawah, like we see how everybody went to kept slowly but surely let ourselves be seduced and to get comfortable with using the word Islam instead of al-Islam. We went through the same chain when we know that Dawah was illustrated in the example of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he sent a notification to everyone in his environment that there's only one God and he is his messenger. And we have gotten far away from the basic language and meaning of Dawah. And we have broken it down into, like Allah says in the Quran, have broken it down into compartments to please the people, instead of giving them the surety that they can see as far as they want to in this Quran, and they will never see anything that will blind them and keep them from learning more and more that Allah is Akbar. And the place where Imam Muhammad left us at, he encouraged us that if I'm coming to your city, make sure that every official there has the opportunity or at least an invitation that I'm coming to their city to explain the creator of them and us and how we are having crime or whatever the case may be or whatever the topic might be behind those people giving Imam Muhammad staff some things they would appreciate if he talked about when he came to the city. And but if Shaitan, as we all know, if he's listening, he'll try to make the people who these invitations are sent to get the wrong message. Or we don't do our job, like you said, about the basics of giving a flyer, giving a phone call to the mayor's office, to the Dependent Children's Association, anything that's dealing with social reform, making sure those leaders get a letter letting them know that the leadership or the person which a lot of them had already learned, that Imam was raised amongst the whole world to invite everybody back to one worship of one God, and invite them to come and learn the light that this final message in the Quran is to be lived for those who want to be successful and see the heaven, paradise, or whatever their language might be when they read in Quran, or when they hear in Quran, or when they hear in Hadith, you know, that we're teaching in the libraries, in the convention centers, in the places of invitation. And Imam also said, I want them to see how when y'all come out, you know, the seats that you leave available for them to get in, they will see how beautiful you are. See what Al-Islam has done for y'all. See how the spirit on our faces when they see we come and see this out of charity to anybody. The number in the top five religious leaders of the world is coming to your city.
Muhammad?
Yes, sir.
Muhammad.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I was just, if I may say, actually, now on CWSC's pattern or way we're doing things now is that we're not about preaching to others as much as we will enter the proper doors through the community that we are associated with, leadership-wise, the Muslim community, and get the acknowledgement of understanding we're not coming to a city or entering without the respect. And then our connection with governance and education and economics and sociocultural pathways, what they've already established, we connect with or we discuss it, and we do acknowledge that we're here in the city as we don't even have to give it. The word that comes to my mind is ambassadors or as what Ansars, but helpers. And so we're coming. We're acknowledging that this exists. It's establishment of governance and how it is taking care of already the people of the community, of the city, and how we can work within the precinct and help, inshallah, but not to go and preach and teach, because the work will speak for itself, inshallah. And we've already laid the track record for that through the Tampa Bay Area Muslim Association and other communities, even Philadelphia, where I am. They have already on the plan a 42-block area with things that they have already figured that they're going to do and contributing to the community life that's already established.
Yeah, I'm very familiar. We've got two things I want to bring up. Brother Bilal Abdullah looks like he has his hand up. And
okay.
Have we taken a public service announcement break?
Please, yes, sir. Please do. I'm gonna chill out for a moment while I get myself connected here. Thank you.
All right.
As-salamu alaykum. Thank you. Stay with us.
Like my.
As-salamu alaykum. Welcome to AM360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain International is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports a healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-436-7900. 334-3475. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Serial Conference and AM360, in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
And we're back with more of Community Developmental Stages and CWSC Community Buzz with your host, Martha Naila Abdullah. And she'll be rejoining us momentarily. In a moment, thank you for your patience, and we're going to open up the mic of Bilal Abdullah. Welcome.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum
assalam. Praise be to Allah for establishment, and Allah have given us this format, this establishment. And it's essential, and what it be real good, I know now and I work with this, invite people to the format. Invite them as guests. Come on in and bring your group in and let's hear about you. And then because why? We want a collective intelligentsia of people who basically have some of the same history, the same sensitivity we have, because we went through the same thing. And we don't have to fear germs coming into our conversation, because why? When we get on the airwaves on AM360 and we get out of line, we be put in check. So if a guest come on, and we'll correct them too, you see, and we'll know the proper way of doing it, and that's where they can get their education. But we let us be in charge. We want to be in charge of the group, and let them come on and make themselves known to us. Because look, let me tell you something. We not in the business of competing that much anymore. We more into the practical application of inviting people and showing them. Let's see what you got. And let's talk it over. But let us be in charge of that, so we don't have to worry about the Farrakhans and all the rest of the little groups, that makeshift group, fire centers, and anybody else coming in with what they have. Because why? It's our airwaves. AM360, it's our airwaves. But one thing we want to also lose, we don't never want to lose sight of the fact that as a community, as we all come as a community as survivors of slavery, and if we forget that and we lose sight of that, then our real life and where we should be going, we won't have it. You see? Yeah. So you know, look, let me tell you something. Look, we're not subjects anymore. We are free thinkers, true bringers, and we got something. You know, and we got to act like we got something. And now let them go to the mayors and all the different people. They're not coming up in there like they got a black name and they so down and out. No, they come. They bring their offer. They know what they got, and they've been working inside that system. That's practical. Now when I come on the program, you know, I deal with what you say, the not so much spiritual, but just giving important knowledge, and that's it. But now, you see, and I'm working on something where I can get out there. I'm gonna write some articles and send to some newspapers, some of my poems and stuff.
Wonderful.
You see, so I'm injecting myself into the society that way. So praise be to Allah. You know, we got something. And Michael, look, you know, you want me? I get with you. I write something up, and we going on knowledge and everything. Invite the people. Invite the group in. And see what they say. You see?
Yes, sir.
We got a lot of different departments that need to be filled inside of CWSC. So let's go on and fill our departments. Yeah. And if they can come in and fill, let me tell you something. What Hamid do on Wednesday.
Yeah.
I love that. They there.
Collaboration.
Collaborate. And they brought us in, loving each other, showing love. I need to go on there more, you know. I just haven't gotten too much into the format enough. I just want to make sure that I don't go up in there and say something stupid, you know, to my Christian brothers and sisters out there in the field working.
Yeah.
So I have to kind of like learn how to tone myself down and inject and get the most out of what is going on. Just back up I call it our ambassador, sister, I can't think of her name right now, but Naima Latif. That's it.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of stuff we got, you know, have that going on. And like I said, fill them boards that we got in our own structure for praise
each other. We need that kind of reminder, Bilal, and the work that
Alhamdulillah.
Like, it's a cultural science of language, environmental uplift, to put it that way, you know.
Alhamdulillah.
And it's very important. And if we could just keep reminding each other that Imam Muhammad told us that establishment of community life will speak better and louder for us than any individual or groups of individuals can, in terms of showing what we are about. If we would just keep reminding each other of the need for us to build three-dimensional community life. You know, not just say Imam Muhammad's community, but actually build that, you know, and there's a process. And we don't have to look very far in terms of how it's done. You know, we got a very brand new example in terms of the Latino community. They got a philosophy called My Family. And then look at how they support that idea on the real. They're willing to have. I heard someone on the internet say, you know, they'll move into one building, 20 in one building, and then they'll see an opening, and it'll be 10 in two buildings, and then you divide that into three and four buildings, you know, and before you know it, they've got several blocks of Latino communities or Latino families. You know, it's not rocket science. And we're seeing people who are establishing their community life right before our eyes. So Allah is not going to give us any excuse. Less talk and more show and less tell.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah. I just like to say I agree with you 100% on that. But like you said, I think one of the things that we need to establish, like what you were saying earlier about language, the habit of thinking, and it's commonly said all the time, we think that we're preaching. Muslims don't preach; we teach.
We should
remind each other, and we shouldn't have to remind each other in public or in private that we're just talking to the choir. Like I hear how Muslims talk to each other. And suggest in a positive way, but we're still using the language that demeans us, castrates us, because we're I remember back in the days when a lot of us were called Jews when we was in the Nation of Islam because of our clinginess and our effort to want to be civilized and own something and have something of our own and in the name of God. A lot of Muslims would call each other Jews and things like that, and those type of uncontrollable, unrecognizable characters that Shaitan has left to operate in us keeps us having the mortar to bring us together in consensus through Shura. because we still see each other in the world that we just left from. And like Allah says in the Quran, why do you cling so heavily to so many things that you prayed to me to free you from? Still you accuse each other of still being that way. That's where the distrust comes at, that we're not been able to put our hands on, making us so distrustful of each other. We haven't yet learned how to talk to each other in the language of the Quran, with the translation of the English or French or whatever other language we're translating that Quran into, and give the proper image. Not just like Imam said, you know, that we don't need nobody. He said that many a time, and many of us are a witness to that. He said, what we need to do is do what Allah say do. Save your own soul first with this Quran. And that's not preaching, that's teaching. We're here to teach the Quran. We're here to teach the life that Allah favors for the human being who believes, and that's Al-Islam. So we don't want to fall into the traps of, like Allah says, are you trying to please me or are you trying to please the people? You have to be very mindful of that thin veil that's in between the two of those things, because when you are trying to please the people, Allah says, I'm going to let you go for yourself. And you'll see that you'll come up short trying to please humanity when your whole creation is to worship me. So it's not preaching, it's teaching. And people need to be taught and counseled. Counseling is teaching. You're sitting there helping people to see what they already know, but they don't have any faith in it. They don't believe it. And a lot of times it's because look how we got taken away from deeds in action.
Apologize.
Look how we Yes, ma'am.
As-salamu alaykum. I do apologize because I'm the one that used the word. And so I stand on this particular part, not to insult us, as I'm part of the whole makeup, of course, and I have to acknowledge we can't pretend to be what we haven't digested yet. So alhamdulillah, we're all growing. And when I say preaching, I'm really referring to preaching at instead of teaching by the model actions. And that's where, as we're saying, CWST is. Is that we're not about preaching. I mean preaching. That means preaching at and wanting one to digest what we've learned or what we've come to know, and we're not modeling it. So alhamdulillah, that was my intent of my understanding. And when I use the word preaching, not directly. Well, yes, directly to us who do it. And if I'm doing it, alhamdulillah, I need to stop it.
No, Nala, you're there. And I say myself, Nala and them got to have a lot of patience. They structure, they got all the avenues for success for the community, and they very, very patient with us. You know, and I can imagine how good and the cohesive relationship they have with each other. That's a model right there. It's a working model relationship, and we have the airwaves. Ask Bill Cosby about valuable the airwaves. People want the airwaves.
Yes, sir.
He couldn't even buy himself into the airwaves. Come on now. Crazy, yes. Now.
I appreciate you. I'd just like for us to be more conscious. And I think Brother Muhammad mentioned this, but in terms of how we utilize language, the more and more we see that there is an oppressive language environment that makes problems for us developing ourselves as human beings and developing ourselves in terms of actual Muslim community that invites us to the old habit of thinking if we say it, then it that's all we have to do, and we've got it. You know, community is a three-dimensional idea. It starts with spiritual and principled standards, but community represents Muslims, in our example, Muslims living together next door to one another, up the street from one another, with you know, parks and other things besides the masjid. I'm aware of a large group of Muslim leaders years ago when Imam Muhammad was dealing with CPC, and he described a model, a city model of I can't think of the name of this, like strip mall, and he envisioned a building large enough for us to have community meetings, and listen, he didn't start with prayer. He said we could have community meetings, business meetings, and then he mentioned we can pull out mats and make our salat. But he mentioned a utility building, a building that could be utilized for more than just, and then next to that one you have a lawyer's office and this kind of business next door to that. So that, and his, this is what he said, so that when people look over at that, those structures, they see life, they see business, you know, they see progress, you know, and so that's what he was getting at with community establishment. People will see that, and it will speak to their souls, it will speak to their intellect. These people are about business. These people are about getting something done, and we don't have to tell them that we're about getting something done. They'll see our efforts. And that will speak volumes for us. And if we could just keep, just like this world establishes foolishness and keeps it on our mind and overload of information, we need to value the fact that our words, if we're connected with God's word, the Quran and the life of Prophet Muhammad, our words have power. Our words have an energy. Our words have influence. And we should use that to meet our goals, our physical goals. You know, when we go to community meetings, I remember him telling us that, you know, we go to these various people that are doing something, and it helps set up the chairs, you know, for the meeting, what have you, but to show that we are about being a part of people that are doing something. And in that aspect, we can share the language that we've been given in our conversation. I'll give you an example. I had an instructor years ago in the 80s who was teaching early childhood development, and he was a military man, but he was teaching at this little small college. But he was interested in having a conversation with me outside of the classroom, and he asked me about my being Muslim. I said yes, but I was in listening mode. I answered his questions, but I was in listening mode. He said, you know, the Muslims have a history of dealing with mental health, you know, hospitals and different types of, what do you call it, modalities, where they use music and they use natural nature sounds like waterfall or water trickling, and how those natural sounds help those patients that were having emotional and mental problems. And yes, Muslims have emotional and mental problems, and that's a part of one of the aspects of us not progressing as we should. We haven't shared the information necessary to deal with these unnatural conditionings that we've gone through, that have caused a lot of drama and trauma in our life. So, you know, let's encourage one another. Let's create an environment of encouragement, and we're not going to nitpick one another in terms of language. You know, we make a correction, you know, and keep it moving. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. And this is how we grow. Praise be to Allah. I accept everything. Alhamdulillah. Like my accepting it is at the top of the chart, but it doesn't. We all make our errors, and alhamdulillah, when we are called on it, we have to humbly submit and get better. So praise be to Allah.
You know,
I humble myself to do just that.
The way to not be corrected for something that we've done or said is not to do anything, and we don't want that. We're gonna have missteps in that interview, but let's have missteps moving forward. You know,
I like what you was talking about a few minutes ago about the mental health, because that's something else that we have in dialogue at the Sunday morning breakfasts at Albert Manuni in Atlanta, Georgia. And I know so many chaplains who are in corrections, but we have very few chaplains in mental institutions, knowing that Al-Islam, by Allah's permission, was the one to bring that manifestation to the obligation of humanity to establish health and comfort and taking care of those who, when we look at it truthfully and bluntly, who Shaitan has drove crazy because they have no proof that there is a creator behind the inner reaction that they have with Allah and themselves, especially Muslim mental patients. And that's something that we need to have access to, because you'd be surprised, in the United States alone, we might have well over 100,000 to 200,000 chaplains. I'm talking about in our community, who go into chapel in the institution every day, servicing people who are incarcerated, and then we have some who go a nice amount of them going into the hospitals, you know, making sure. But I can use my own wife as an example. When my wife had her problem a couple of months ago, I made sure that the hospitals here in Atlanta, Georgia, and the other facilities she had to go to, that she only had a female taking care of her. And the hospital was really shocked and mad about it, especially those who didn't understand their own self. But they had to yield to it because of the federal obligation that our country and our taxpaying money, you know, and our modeling what we are about has reached that to that level. And the nurses who were taking care of her were so thankful that she had a man there, her husband, who made sure that her privacy, her innermost intimacy, was shared with sisters of any kind of faith. And they were so proud to see, because I used to come and sit at the door the first 3 or 4 days to make sure that no man went into her. And then they even put a Muslim doctor, African-American, in our community, who goes to the masjid where I go at, also in charge of her treatment there, and made sure that no men and women, men went into her room or Kingsville or anywhere around. And I had a lot of Muslim, I had two Muslim doctors who were from Africa. They also did not come in the room until they were assured that she was cleared, and they brought a female assistant to do whatever they needed to do while he respected her privacy.
That's wonderful.
So we need to have the resources that we already have, just like we have Imam Abdul Rashid Muhammad, the first Islamic chaplain in the United States Armed Services. Right there is the imam there in San Diego, California, and he should be a guest. Or we should make an effort that 360 invite those type of people to come on and share and help supporting this wonderful opportunity God given us in 360 and CWSC. Very important that we look at the resources around us and invite
and
them also to be a part of this great opportunity of a chance to see how much we really want to propagate out Islam.
Muhammad,
for not only to ourselves but everybody.
Muhammad, you are saying something that has been a focus of this AM360. We had Brother Bilal who encouraged us to start a program where we would read directly from Imam Muhammad's lectures produced by Imam Ronald B. Shaheed. And I accept your invitation and the reminder. We need a reminder, and we need individuals to share. You know, well, listen, I'd like to hear the first chaplain in the military on AM 360. I believe he's been on. But, you know, with those kind of requests, we enjoy you and others sharing that with us, you know, because it helps us to grow.
And he's been on it twice, I think, since he's been retired, you know. But he's a very cautious Muslim brother who firmly believes in deeds and actions, you know, and how he also now is the first Islamic chaplain or chaplain of African descent in the encyclopedia. So his history is there if anybody want to learn about his history. You know, that's where they put him at when he became the first Islamic chaplain in the United States Armed Service. They put him in the encyclopedia. You know, so there's much history that if we're going to research is very contemporary within our life cycle, the life cycle of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the life cycle of Imam Waruf D. Muhammad and our own life cycle that we're living now. There's much. Like Allah said, his help is always near. But we have to put ourselves in position to let faith open our eyes to see the unseen, of which we are required to be a Muslim. You have to believe that in the unseen, those buildings, those hospitals, those schools, those Islamic subdivisions right here in the United States where we have our own security. And if a person wants to come in and they have alcohol on their breath, we have the diplomacy to explain to them, I will call whoever you come in to see and let them know that you are here at the gate. But we cannot let you come into the community, and we normally have that you have alcohol on your breath. We don't know your level of state that you're in, and we don't know what you really came here for. And have your guests, whoever you were coming to see or what business you was going to see, come here to the gate and let this brother or sister or this business, Muslim business, know that you're here, and let him make that decision, because as your security officer, I can't let you come in. So there's many things that we have to start to have sure on that deals with structure, like I suggested to Imam Ali of the Sectional Imams National Convener. You know, I asked him, was this the time for us to apply to the federal government, the United States of America, changing our title from organization to a, on paper, as a legitimate Islamic community here in America? Not an organization and all the other different things that they use to classify us and dictate to us what our role can be in America when we have the right, according to the Constitution, to be a Islamic community like they have in their Christian structure, the Amish community, the Mormon community. They're not called organizations. Yes, sir.
Well, question, but is that written, or is that just because they established themselves in a way
and,
that they had to be acknowledged as such?
Are you talking? Oh, well, remember they're Christian because they're doing that because they are of the Christian faith, and this is a Christian country. So any community who believe in their system of worship, you are considered a community, not an organization, unless you provide a service.
Well, I remember Imam Muhammad giving us insight into how this country is established, and that the laws that are on the book permit us to have our own leadership. Go ahead, Martha.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
Right,
can you hear me okay?
Yes, alaikum assalam.
Okay, and the reason I'm connecting now is everyone, you know, the travel that we're taking on and connecting, I'm wanting you to know that I'm here as a part of a group, and we're in Washington, D.C., and in Washington, D.C., we're in the heart of a particular area, if anyone knows, of Howard, I don't want to say university, but it's,
yeah,
I'm reading Bleed Blue, Howard Bison.
That's
what it says, the Bisons, right?
Yeah,
and I'm standing here at a sign that says, lift every voice and sing. It's one of the marquees on a pole stabilized here. And at Georgia Avenue and Pleasant Plains Heritage Trail. And I want to share that with everyone. I've never been here to see it, but I'm thankful that I'm here now, so I'd like to read it. It says, and what's on the picture, I'll give you a sign of that, is a gentleman, African-American descent, I say African-American descent, you know, and a young lady standing near him, next to him at the cash register, and she has a scarf on that's draped down behind the back, and apparently they have food in jars, neatly on shelvings behind them. And it go on to read, how many dreams and memories reside in this short stretch of Georgia Avenue. South of Florida Avenue, where it is called 7th Street, its heart once beat to jazz riffs and the eager steps of people dressed in their finest. Here, sweet aromas once wafted, W-A-F-T-E-D, from commercial bakeries. Just north of Florida is where hot Saturday afternoons met Griffith Stadium, the crack of the bat, and shouts of baseball mad crowds. And Georgia continues. She climbs toward Howard University, yes, the historical heart of our country's African-American intellectual community. Farther still, brick temples of learning give way to row houses and storefronts and the steady beat of everyday life. Lift every voice. Georgia Avenue, Pleasant Plains Heritage Trail pays homage to the musicians and impresarios, Jewish shopkeepers, and African-American barbers, intellectuals, and activists, and all who built a thriving community along this stretch of one of Washington's oldest thoroughfares. Pleasant Plains once was the name of the Holmead, as H-O-L-M-E-A-D, family estate, which spread from Rock Creek to Georgia Avenue north of Columbia Road. Today's Pleasant Plains neighborhood lies mostly south of the old Homemead land. And while most of this trail lies in Pleasant Plains, it actually starts in Shaw, S-H-A-W, enters Pleasant Plains at Florida Avenue, crosses through Park View, the neighborhood north of Howard University, and ends in Petworth. And so it says, this Lift Every Voice, Georgia Avenue, Pleasant Plains Heritage Trail is produced by Cultural Tourism DC in collaboration with District Department of Transportation, Washington Convention and Sports Authority, United States Department of Transportation, and Georgia Avenue Pleasant Plain Heritage Trail Working Group. Special thanks to Heritage Trail historian Sarah Schoenfeld, Jason Berry, Calvin Esther, Lynn C. French, Roland Gardner, Frankie Hemingway, Burleen Jackson, Reginald Kelly, Patrick Nelson, Ernest Quimby, Ayize, Salvatore, that's S-A-B-A-T-E-R, Shana Sabath, Maybell Taylor Bennett, and Naomi Washington. Thank you to the ANC, these are acronyms, ANC's IA, IB, and IC, the Emergence Community Arts Collective, Howard University professor, Ernest Quimby, sociology student, spring of 2008, and the Office of the Deputy Mayor for Planning and Economic Development, and also to Donald Benjamin, Kent Bosey, Tina Scott Boyd, Yvonne Carignan, Dana Kohlho, Joellen Elbashir,
John Gartell, Mark Creek, Faye Haskins, Alan Heyman, Margaret Horner, Edward Holloway, Kevin Johnson, Timothy Jones, Brian Kraft, Nicole Manuel, Susan McNeil, Romeo Morgan, Eddie Palanzo, John Powell, Kim Roberts, Jerry Rosenthal, A.Z. Sabatar II, Joshua Sabatar, Shalom Sabatar, Ashley Simpkin, Kai, that's K-A-I, Smith, Catherine S. Smith, and Thomas Smith. Cultural Tourism D.C. staff, and it goes through their names, and then it says the detail of the photo of the Howard Hall by Carol Highsmith. On each sign appears the courtesy, the Library of Congress. So to have it with the Library of Congress is very notable. And here we stand at in the heart of this particular precinct. And if you heard the music in the background, you are hearing it from the Sankofa. It says videos, books, and cafe. And it's, let's see here, it is by and about people of African descent. And then it gives a phone number, 202-234-4755. Now, what is the meaning of Sankofa? You probably already know, many of you. I had to look it up, and I will share that. This is Community Developmental Stages and followed by Community Buzz. Question is, have you heard? And so this is one of our involvements tonight. It says the word Sankofa comes from the Akan, A-K-A-N, people of Ghana. It is an Akan, A-K-A-N, term that literally means to go back and get it. One of the Adinkra, A-D-I-N-K-A-R-A, symbols for Sankofa depicts a mythical bird flying forward with its head turned backwards. So that's a brief explanation of Sankofa, and many address the herbs and things for healing, the power of Sankofa to know the history, or it is saying know the history. It is an African word, and of course we say the Akan of Ghana, a tribe in Ghana, and what it means. Sankofa symbolizes, the people's quest for knowledge among the Akan, with the application that the quest is based on critical examination and intelligent and patient investigation. I'll stop right there. I think that sums up what we were sharing tonight, each of us sharing from our own perception, but it definitely connects that we are about as we examine, and our patience is with it, our intelligence means that we will go forth with true application, inshallah. Any comments on that, everyone? Please, Michael, if you see the hands, I'm not looking at the board. Right.
I had a smile at that last illustration when you could see it, how, because it reminded me of a warning for us. You don't be flying forward while we're looking and being hypnotized by the past, unless you're going to go back and get it and bring it online with your direction that you're in and which is forward. And I've seen that because we have been told on many, many, many levels about the Qibla that Allah turned us to, and there's no reason to look back unless you have doubt. So when you were talking about that bird and that definition, that gave me, inshallah, some inspiration from Allah SWT, inshallah, to notice that about that part about the bird flying forward, but looking back.
Alhamdulillah. And if no other comments right now, along the Nile, this is another
marquee on the other side, and it shows, again, depicting a male and female standing behind a counter, showing that they are business, the inspiration to be in business as well. It says, with its Afrocentric shops and connections to Howard University, this stretch of Georgia Avenue has been called the Nile Valley. Blue Nile Botanicals opened first at the 2826 Georgia in 1977. Hodari Ali, a former editor of Howard's student newspaper, followed with Pyramid Books at 2849 Georgia, where businessman Kenny Gilmore remembered finding, in quotation, the whole 360 degrees of black life. End of quotation. Filmmaker and Howard professor Hale Jerima, that's G-E-R-I-M-A, Jerima, opened the Sankofa Cafe and the bookstore at 2714 Georgia Avenue in 1999. So long before the bookstores of the Cordova sisters operated a hair salon. So there's much here just to share with you. Alhamdulillah. Yes,
there's a lot of history there in terms of at the same time, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when he was running for his life, lived in D.C. The temple, which is now the nation's mosque, was just a block or so away from the Daddy Grace house of prayer, house of worship. Daddy Grace was there. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was there, and the honorable and notable Carter G. Dr. Carter G. Woodson lived there, lived not too far from those two edifices. You know, it's a lot of history there in D.C. that I have to say that there is a way that Imam Muhammad told us to look back in order to bring the best from our past forward. If it was something that helped us in our freedom struggle, and notice I didn't say civil rights, in the freedom struggle to be seen as human beings, you know, as you know, that was the real issue. It wasn't sitting in a restaurant, you know, to get a Coke and a sandwich. It was being recognized as human beings, and that has been the struggle, you know, our humanity being acknowledged, you know, in spite of the contributions, they cover us up and accept the contributions, you know, in our work in terms of building America. The work was accepted, but we weren't, you know, the contributions that we made to the life of America and the life of D.C. was covered up by this color consciousness, this so-called white supremacy and race knowledge. You know, both of them are false concepts or false constructs, false social constructs, unnatural social constructs that are being shown up for just that. But D.C., you know, I was born and raised. I came in the community under the Dr. Lonnie Shabazz at that time, who may Allah forgive his sins and grant him paradise for the work that he did.
I mean,
his dedication to producing black excellence, and in the particular focus of creating as many, I don't know how many, but we could probably Google it, how many mathematicians he was able to produce. And I remember one of his lectures where he talked about how, you know, the lies had been, you know, the lies had been exposed when integration took place, and the Caucasians begin to see that this false narrative of intellectual black intellectual weakness was a lie, and you had black boys and girls outshining the Caucasians, you know, in many aspects of public school environment. you know, so that I came in that time came in with a number of notable people that have made their contributions to the progress of African Americans and to the Association of Imam Waruthin Muhammad. And I thank Allah for that. And a lot of work is yet to be done. And again, we need to remind one another, because we need to remind each other, because God tells us, you know, I created you and you're forgetful and you're hasty. You like to move too fast. So we keep reminding one another. We keep reminding one another, well, let's pace ourselves, you know. And there was a song, I can't think of how the lyrics go, but there's a song talking about us marching, you know, marching into our future. You know, there was a lot of cultural expressions during the Nation of Islam time with Minister Farrakhan's White Man's Heaven is a Black Man's Hell and other kinds of cultural expressions that were going on. So I'll stop there. I get very nostalgic and wordy when I think about that. So thank you.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah. And thank you all for being so patient.
914.
Oh, you have another caller. Mm-hmm.
We got two callers. We've got Imam Kareem. Welcome. State your name, where you're calling from.
Yes, I am Kareem Hamid. And I'm from the Electric City of St. Louis, Missouri. Yeah, assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, and I trust that everyone had a blessed Jummah today. Praise be to Allah. You know, I, Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman has a lot of posts on YouTube. And he deals with subject matter and questions that are asked of him. I was fortunate to hear him address the community from the young people's perspective. From the young people's perspective, they will talk among themselves. They don't want to get heat from us. But praise to Allah, he was at that age that he could hear the conversations that the young people were having. And what the young people were saying, and I don't know if they still are, but they are saying that from us, you know, those of our era, my age, you know, I call the men gray beards. And I called the sisters our auntie. He said that they talk among themselves. And they say, man, you know, they talk as if they're still in the Nation of Islam. Hey, we're consistently hearing glorified stories of how much this was sold, how many papers were sold, things that were happening in the Nation of Islam. He said, but what they don't hear from us is future talk, planning for moving forward. They say, now here it is, I'm a young man, I'm looking for a wife. But all they are talking about is what took place in the Nation of Islam. And that causes a disconnect. And we have to admit, we do have a problem with not having enough young people. So he is a very learned, bright young man, very intelligent, with a very, very sharp mind. And he was one of the favorite students of Imam Waruthin Muhammad. Rahimullah Alayhi. So I listened very intently as he was saying that. Say, you know, the young people, they be there, and they are saying most of the conversation is a glorified history of the Nation of Islam. Say, have they really transitioned? Have they truly left? When you know, they're saying that they don't hear planning for the future or even what is current. So this is not me saying. I'm only relaying information that he shared with
Thank
us.
You, man. Thank you. The clock on the wall is...
Yes, sir. All right. I'll stop right there. Mute your mic,
and I'm going to leave your mic open. Just mute yourself. And we've got 914-434. Welcome. State your name and where you're calling from.
Yeah, this is Muhammad Sharif calling from Melbourne, New York. Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
Alaikum assalam. Welcome. Come on in.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Sister Martha, if she was in D.C., I was going to ask you if she get an opportunity to go by the Nation's Mosque or to go by the Clara.
But that's scheduled for tomorrow, inshallah.
Good.
Yes, sir. Yes, they're going to make that round. Such as I didn't report on Philly, which I'll be going back to Imam Rahim, who has they've been working diligently on the 42 blocks that will house senior citizens. I said, oh, well, I'm senior citizen, right? I can, but that plus, you know, business trip, and the area is more definitive Muslim. I mean, there's no question about it. Stores galore all around the block, mosques across the street from each other, and everyone, it's just like you're walking in your living room and just giving a greeting to each other with a diverse population. So praise be to Allah. We will definitely give that due because I didn't want to cram it. I wanted to come do this and then go back, inshallah. And after that, it will be North Carolina, the area, the cities in North Carolina. So, inshallah.
Okay. Yeah. 4200 block in Philadelphia, 4200, what is that near? What avenue or something like that?
Now you're asking me a hard question. I don't know if you know Naeem Shaheed. He lived in St. Petersburg for about 15 years, and we were like brother and sister. So he and his wife took me around yesterday. They were calling these streets out, Chestnut Street, Walnut Street. It's near Market Street, which is 30th and Market, where the transportation center is. It's not too far from there, so it's in the conference.
Yeah, I want to. But it'll be
42 blocks, not just 4200.
I want to share, Muhammad. I want to share with the audience, with you and the audience, the leadership, the great leading qualities of the former Philadelphia Sound businessman, Brother Lukman. He's known as Lukman now, but he was Kenny Gamble.
Kenny Gamble. I'm familiar with Kenny Gamble, Lukman.
And we had when I lived in Selma, Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam was working with a non-governmental organization, and I was a part of that. We went up to Philly to hear him describe the plan that he put together for establishing blocks of Muslims living together in business and educational. And, you know, their involvement with the educational system was such that they had influence over the public school system, along with, you know, the Muslim school system establishment, you know. So there's a model example of not imam leadership, but leadership as a leader and a businessman in Brother Lukman, Kenny Gamble. you know, mm-hmm. and we need more of that. That's what, and you see, it translates into three-dimensional community life, you
mm-hmm.
know, houses, apartments, stores, educational system. I mean, it's a model of what the man was telling us about, you know, that we have
yes.
to have that. And when we look mm-hmm. at that, it speaks loud for the Muslims in Philly, you know. They're influential because of that three-dimensional community establishment. And you
mm-hmm.
have
If I may add, Michael, too, the Imam Rahim, who's part of Graceline, who CWSC is connected with, and who he and Naeem Shaheed, they say they were some of the first trailblazers to walk the street and do a lot of interaction with just meeting people at their position, wherever they were, you know, meeting and
yeah.
greeting, getting to know,
yeah.
and
yeah.
realizing this can be done. And so it's beautiful to see, and at the same time, I can't express it enough how no matter what descent of Muslim that are present in business, you need that thrust from our arena and that to make it be complete. And that's what we're seeing that is happening. So praise be to Allah for that.
Okay, go ahead.
And they do have a school. I went to three masjids when we made three different salat times. And at Maghrib, at Isha, we made, when we made salat, Sister Aisha, Naeem's wife, was sharing with me. They've been to Umrah several times. And this particular last masjid we went to, they say it's bought and paid for. Well, I want to tell you, the building is so huge, and it's amazing. It sits on a corner block, and Naeem says now he's in his 60s, and he say he was a teenager when he was, you know, the Nation of Islam, and they had him to go there and secure the building, be security at the building. And I say, well, what did you have? He said, no gun, no nothing, just me and Allah. And that big building, empty building. And I said, well, did you go inside? He said, no, it was locked. He had to stand outside and monitor the building itself. And then they finally, needless to say, equipped him. But at the same time, they began to do a little more things as they built made the building become more useful. So praise be to Almighty God for the process and the progress.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Alaikum
assalam.
Good. Oh, assalamu alaikum. This is Tarifa.
Alaikum assalam.
I had just wanted to mention something. I was listening to the trip that you're on, alhamdulillah, in D.C.
Yes, ma'am.
And I had to text my daughter so I could tell you about where we went to visit, where she took me, because she used to live in D.C. several years ago. She's a graduate, first of all, of Sister Claire Muhammad School in Chicago, and then a graduate of Howard University Law School. And so she took me on different sites and tours, and one of the places that we went to was very impressive, and it's where they have a wall of the names of, I think it has 209,145 names. And these are of African-American Civil War Memorial.
Oh, yeah,
And it's on U Street.
Yes, ma'am.
And it was dedicated under the leadership of Dr. Frank Smith Jr. and Colin Powell. And
wonderful.
That was just so impressive.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. So you've seen it, you're saying yes.
Yes, ma'am. I'm from D.C. and I've seen it. It's down near the area where Dr. Carter G. Woodson lives, in that
Allahu
direction.
Akbar. Alhamdulillah. And I did also enjoy at that time, this was back in the 2000, the early 2000, oh, well, it might have been the middle. And I tried to go on the weekend so we could go to Juma at the Nation's Mosque, which we did have the opportunity to. So, and I'm noticing the time. I'm sorry, so I'll stop.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you. We've got, Sister Martha, we've got 859. Assalamu alaikum. We've got 859. Go ahead, Bilal.
Alhamdulillah, this is something I'd like to say. The purpose of the Nation of Islam was to give us enough faith in our own original creation to make us have faith in our ability to think for ourselves, to think independently. I can be a factor to that change because I refuse to give up the practice of thinking for myself. That's Imam Walter D. Muhammad. And let me give y'all something right now so y'all know. So y'all know that the businesses that the Nation of Islam had, when Imam Muhammad came along, he said those businesses were falling. He said they was falling. And the unity was more of a regimented type of unity that they had. It was so perplexing to brothers who was selling the papers that one brother said they were mistreating the brother so bad. I think he was a lieutenant at the time. He gave him the paper and said, look, I'm finished with y'all. He said, because I cannot treat a man like that. Research that kind of stuff, and then you won't be saying too much about what's what. Get the real deal about it.
Yes, sir.
The end result of it. Be thankful to Allah for you, man, Walter D. Muhammad, and study his history, and you can see why he is the way he is, and Allah raised him up the way he was raised up. This is one soul in this environment, and we're here to accommodate all the rest of the souls, and praise be to Allah. This is God's movement, and God's movement will not go in reverse, and it will not fail, and we cannot be stopped. God's
right.
Be on for all of us. Amen.
Thank you. Peace be upon you. Sister Martha, we're at the end of the hour,
the time. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everyone and your contribution. And as this, of course, is able to be heard again, if you can hear it clearly, alhamdulillah, the background, but the whole intent. Everyone, CWSC, as you connect with CWSC, and we connect with other organizations that are doing the work. It's enough work for so many. We won't be able to do it all, but we can do our part. And that's what we ask of everyone who volunteers to participate with CWSC, the intelligentsia. Without us participating, there will be no CWSC. There will be no organization. So praise be to Almighty God. We are so thankful, and we humbly submit to all of our developmental processes. Only Almighty God is bringing that out into the forefront so that we can be the model community that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed for whoever steps into that Muslim position and I won't say recognize, but just submit and bring about that peace within and on the outer. How you doing, my brother? I'm doing that. All right, everyone. Michael, we're going to close out with that music. Let's go to, we've got to just directly to You've Got to Be Thankful.
All right. Lovely.
Early in the morning, sailing and prayer, metal press proof coffee as I stumble down the stairs, tiptoe by the bedroom where my children sleep. 25 years later, I still pray my Lord their souls in peace. Grab my keys, grab my hat and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off the work Chicago. But I gotta be all right.
Gotta be all right.
Do the best that I can. Try and make a difference. Cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong.
Gotta be strong.
And let a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful.
Gotta be thankful.
Gotta be grateful for my life. And all the things he's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine. Star that lights the night. Friends I've left forever. And my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy. He lives down the street. He wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough. And he tries to understand. He said, mister, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand? Well, I think about the days gone by and the things my daddy said. And the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, you gotta be alright.
Gotta be alright.
You gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference. In any way you can, you gotta be strong.
Gotta be strong.
And lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful.
Gotta be thankful.
You gotta be grateful for your life. And all the things he's given you that makes your life your life. For the warm rays of sunshine. And the stars that light the night. And friends that last forever. And your children and your wife. Back to colors, and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere, and our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their family. But they gotta be alright. They gotta do the best that they can. Try to make a difference. Any way they can, they've got to be strong.
Gotta be strong.
And lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful. They gotta be grateful for their lives and all the things he's given them that make their life for the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night and friends that last forever and their children and their wives. Yeah, they